Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Who has your Bibles? All right, one person. That's good. Oh, sorry. Okay. Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and just open them. And go to, trying to decide where we want to start here. We've been speaking about a core value, live from the inside out. It may seem kind of elementary, but you'd be surprised how many folks don't. Because you're really not trained to do that. Then the biggest challenge that so many thought processes have is the fact that they reinforce living out of your head. And then we wonder why we have challenges. We wonder why we have just as much issues as natural people in the world. And yeah, go to Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And look at verse 16. Well, first let's go to verse 13, the very first phrase. It says, "For you were called to freedom." Everybody say freedom. And the very first verse in chapter 5 says, "It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not subject yourselves to the yoke of slavery." You would say, well, we don't do that anymore. But the slavery that Paul is talking about is the thought processes that come out of natural man's head. How many know the best that anything that man produces is going to produce slavery? Doesn't matter what it is, the best it'll do is put somebody in bondage. That's the best it'll do. And the thing that we need to understand about the life that Jesus purchased for us is it's not just a theological way of thinking, that as a human being, you really are a spiritual being. That's the real you. And because it's the real you, it has a way of functioning that it was created to function that's not just adopting ways of thinking. You know, or saying, well, I just believe. The reality of it is before the foundation of the world, and the plan of Father was always just to put himself inside a man. Because he loves man that much. You know, there are thought processes that like to emphasize and focus on the failures of man and the sin of man, and those things exist. But almost in that process of thinking, what happens is they transfer a detesting of man that God has. And that's just not so. Man is the apple of Daddy's eye. And he loves man. That's why he did what he did. Before there ever was a man, he made a choice. Now imagine this. For people that in thought processes that like to say, well, you know, God is sovereign. Here's a sovereign move for you. Before there ever was a man to do anything wrong, the Father, looking down through chronological time, because in eternity there's no beginning or end, it just is. But he made a sovereign choice that when a human being was going to stand in his presence, that human being was going to be seen as blameless and holy. That's astounding. Because that's not the Father, that's not the God that so many religious systems have trained people to think. They think that there's a, you know, does God hate sin? Yes, he does. But he hates sin because sin destroys human beings. He doesn't hate people. And we need to understand there's a difference. There's a difference in the way that looks. And so what Paul is trying to communicate in his writings, here in Galatians chapter 5, he said it was for freedom that Christ set you free. And then he explains how to stay free and how to live free. And I got to tell you, I was raised in church my whole life, and there's nothing against any particular person or any particular organization. Because like I've said in the past, look, bottom line is we're not coming out against people. We're not coming against organizations. We're coming against thought processes. Right? Everybody say amen. We're coming up, it's thought processes that we deal with, not people or organizations. Paul said our battle is not against flesh and blood or natural people, but it's against principalities and powers, mights and dominions that cause people to think certain ways. And so what Paul's dealing with here, he tells us how to live free. And I was never taught this when I was a kid. Verse 16, he says, you were called for freedom in 13. You were called to freedom. Now, verse 16, here's how you stay free. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of your natural man. Now, my translation says Spirit is a big S. But you're contrasting the natural man with the spirit of man, so it's not a big S, it's a little S. But the reality of it is, and I sit there and I told a bunch of Bible school students this one time, that there isn't any difference. If you're a new creation, there's no difference between the big S and the little S. Do you understand that? I know some thought processes try to triangulate it and say, well, you know, there's Holy Spirit, but then there's you. But you are a spirit, and if you're a new creation, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, so the big S is the little S, they're one together. The Bible says, those that belong to the Lord are one spirit with Him. Right? So, let's don't get tangled up in whether it's a big S or a little S. The fact is, if He's contrasting the natural man, He's contrasting the natural man and the spirit of man, because He's talking to new creation believers. He's not talking to natural men. So he says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the natural man. So that's how you stay free. And go down to verse 22. It says, The fruit of the Spirit, again, the fruit of the recreated human spirit, someone who has made Jesus the Lord of their life and He's given them a new nature. Everybody say nature upgrade. Is love. And that love produces joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I love this next phrase. Against such things, there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ, now get this.
And I was never taught this either.
Those who belong to Christ have, everybody say have. Notice that's past tense. Crucified the flesh. Did you know your flesh is crucified? I said, did you know your flesh is crucified? You know why? Because when He died, you died. Read Romans 6. Now the way you keep that natural man from having any power in your life is you do what He said in verse 16. You walk out of your spirit, and then you won't fulfill or walk out the desires or the pressures that the natural man brings in your life. So if we walk by the Spirit, in verse 25, if you live by the Spirit, let's walk by the Spirit. Big S, little s. And he says the results of if you don't is in verse 26. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. That's the result of the natural man. So what we find in the writings of Paul is when you're talking about living spirit attentive, you're going to find that there really, it really does boil down to this simple of a thought process. What Jesus did for the human race was he reconnected your spirit with his spirit. He put his spirit in you. And now your responsibility as a human being is to learn how to live as a whole human being out of your spirit, your mind submitted to the things in your spirit and the Holy Spirit, and you just live that out. And you keep your mind away from thought processes that are common, that flow in just the way the world runs. In fact, he really contrasts. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 is one of a number of scriptures that he really contrasts. This is really where the battle is. Because the natural system that is in the world, and please understand this, religious thought process that does not have the Spirit of God revealing things is simply nothing more than the thought process of a human being. And those things are always going to be conflicting and battling against this real thing that is real Christianity, that is real, born from above, Holy Spirit lives in you, live it. It's always going to conflict with that. And so this is what Paul is saying in Colossians chapter, what did I say, chapter 2? Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 8. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy. Folks, there is a whole lot of philosophy flying around. Empty deception according to the traditions of men, according to the, I love this phrase, the elementary principles of the way the world system works. Go over to, look at verse 16. He says it again. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge. And he addresses the religious system of the day, the religious thought processes of the day, in regard to food or drink, or in respect to festivals or new moon or the Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. He says, but the substance of all of those things really belongs to Christ. Now go over to Galatians chapter, look at verse 20. Same chapter here. Verse 20 says, if you have died with Christ, and if you are a new creation, you've died with Christ. You got to understand this, folks. Your life is completely connected in His now. For all intents and purposes, you don't exist. Paul said, my life is hidden in Him. He told the Greeks, in Him I live, move, and have my being. He said, if, or really the word is since, you've died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourselves to decrees such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use in accordance with the commandments of teachings of men? You see a theme here? These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. The fact is, if you look at the writings of Paul, he reveals that these very types of situations and environments really do nothing more than empower the natural man to buck up and fight those things, and then you end up failing. So your whole life is a series of, and then finally you just quit. I just give up. I'm tired of feeling like a scumbag. And then you start pointing at all the hypocrites around because it makes you feel better. right? Is that the thought process, the general process? But it's all because of the fact that, you know, if you try to live your life out of your natural man by a code of conduct that just is coming out of your natural man, you're just going to be miserable your whole life. Because Jesus never designed for a human being to live out of his natural will, his natural abilities, and his natural determination. He designed a man to be living out of his spirit by the Spirit of God in him, training his mind how to think like a new creation and submit to his spirit, and so that you're not cluttered in your head with a bunch of stuff trying to live a certain way. See, our challenge is we've tried so hard to do Christianity that we're missing all the things the Spirit of God is trying to show us so we can just be. We don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit because we're too busy doing Christianity. Because after all, it never happens through me. Well, maybe you should free up your mind and stop being so concerned about what you didn't do, how you failed this, or what you need to do, or how long you need to read. Maybe you need to get all that mess out of your head so you can have a clear peace in your mind for the Holy Spirit to begin to show you things. And you might find out that the word of knowledge actually does flow through you. You might find out the word of wisdom actually does flow through you. You might find out the gifts of healing actually flows through you because you pick up on it and you know how to recognize it and you know how to act on it. So there's quite a bit of a contrast when it comes to living the Christian life, being spirit attentive from the inside out, and the usual model and mindsets of just trying to do Christianity. Can you see that? Here's where we're going, guys, in the next couple of weeks. Because I was going to move on to the next core value, but I kept seeing some things. The Spirit of God kept pointing out some things to me. And one of the things He began to point out, I'm not going to get into today, but next week and the week after that, one of the things that we need to learn, have you ever wondered what the importance of the conscience is? We've got to understand. Paul understood what the conscience was, and he understood how the conscience plays a role in you being a fruitful individual. And we've got to understand what role that conscience plays and how to keep it good and how to keep it clear. Because if we don't keep it good and keep it clear, then it keeps you down and it keeps you from living from the inside out. Because you're too locked in your emotions, you're too locked in your own head. And then you don't hear things right. You misinterpret things that the Spirit of God is trying to show you, and it automatically twists those things to beat you down. And it really causes us to be unfruitful in the exercise of our faith. And it isn't necessarily even because it's scripturally accurate. Do you understand that? So I don't get ahead of myself. We'll get into those things in the next week, couple of weeks. And then we're going to talk about, you know, the Word says we're supposed to pray always in the Spirit. How do you do that? How do you pray always in the Spirit? What does Paul say about this thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 about what the Bible calls tongues? What does Paul say about that? A lot of mindsets say that Paul says that you're not supposed to have any tongues in the church services at all. I actually had this conversation one time. And that's not at all what he's saying. So we'll get into what does he actually say in the next few weeks. Because, again, what is it that thought processes of man do? If we latch onto them, they keep us in bondage. When there's thought processes out there that start saying that people that are natural people, the minute they walk into the door of a church, they control things. Something ain't right. Because the house of God belongs to the Lord. Right? I said right? So when did we ever relegate control of that environment to someone who's not even the same nature? So that can't be an accurate theology. So we'll look and see what Paul actually said there. But for now, I want to show you this. Last week we talked about facilitating the presence of God. We are still talking about living from the inside out, being spirit attentive, because Where is the Spirit of God? It lives on the inside of you. And in fact, you need to understand this. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. That if I could reiterate this and maybe recap some things that we've talked about just to bring some more clarity. We've got to understand in our overall perspective of what this thing is that we have, Christianity. You've got to understand from the big perspective of Daddy that it wasn't, how do I say this without trying to sound sacrilegious? How many understand that we a lot of times we adopt partial truth and we make it be the whole thing, right? And a lot of times when we do that, it skews our perspective as to what the real big picture really is and what the motives of Father and why did he do what he did, you know? And so I preface all that because I want to say this. In the mind of Father before the foundation of the world, he didn't send Jesus just so people didn't go to hell. I figured that'd go over pretty good. That's part of the benefit, but you got to understand, before there was a human being, God said, in my presence they're going to be holy and blameless. You know why? Because he wanted them to be in his presence. How do we live with a theology on one hand that says the Holy Spirit lives on inside of you if you're a Christian, but then you're not holy? I didn't realize the Spirit of God lived anyplace else. Does he? I mean, if he's in you, and Paul said you're the temple of the Spirit of God, then where he is, it must be a righteous vessel, right? I said, right? Because we wouldn't think the Holy Spirit would inhabit anything that wasn't, would we? Because see, the reality of this thing called Christianity from the mind of Father, it's always been about, I'm going to walk in their presence and they're going to be in my presence and we're going to hang out for eternity. And this is what this is all about. I'm going to put my Holy Spirit in them. They'll be my people and I'll be their God. That's what it's always been about. Everything else is peripheral things and peripheral benefits that take place because of what Jesus did in him going to the cross, paying the lien that was against the entire human race, and being raised up and seated in heavenly places with Father. All the other things are a benefit of that, but from the motive of Father has always been, I'm putting my Holy Spirit in the spirit of man forever, because that's where I want to be. Do you understand that? So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, he says this, for through him, speaking of Jesus, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Now go to chapter 2, verse 11. He says, therefore, remember that formerly, when you were, and he uses the phrase of the day, Gentiles, that just meant they weren't Jewish. Remember that formerly you were Gentiles in the flesh, who were called, quote, uncircumcision. In other words, that's what they called you. By the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, he goes on to say that formerly you were far off, but by the blood of Jesus that we sang about this morning, you were brought near. Because he was made your peace, and he made both groups of individuals one, in one man, which is him. Now, here's something that we've got to understand. In this context of, It's always been about the Spirit of God being in the spirit of man and the two walking together because they agree. It's always been that. But sometimes we get so lost in theological thought process that we forget just the simplicity of what happens when there's that union and what's supposed to happen. But even in the context of Paul is talking about, you know, he's talking to these folks that were non-Jewish. He's talking about the Jewish people. He says, look, even though they regarded you as uncircumcised and you were without hope and without God in the world, they had a specific place in the earth. The original plan. Go over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. God has a people. He wanted to put His Spirit in their midst. And as a result of His Spirit being in their midst, they were going to be responsible for what Paul calls here in Romans chapter 3, the oracles of God. Do you think that's changed? You say, what's the oracles of God? Whatever He says. That's why Jesus in Matthew 4:4 said, man was not designed to just live on natural sustenance. He was designed to live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That includes what's not in the print. Did you hear what I just said? Every means every, not just what's in print. So Romans 3, what does he say? He says, what's the advantage? What is the advantage that the Jew has, or what was the benefit of circumcision? He says, great in every respect. First of all, they were entrusted with the oracles of God. I want you to, if you'll study your New Testament, the writings of Paul, you'll find that you are also entrusted with the oracles of God. Why? Because the plan has never changed. I'm putting my spirit in their presence, and we're going to walk together because we're going to be agreed, and they're going to be responsible for whatever I say. So when we talk about living from the inside out, being spirit attentive, and part of the description of that is being willing to give voice to prayer and the things that He reveals to you when He reveals to you. You know, obviously that includes the natural outflow of what 1 Corinthians 12 calls the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. Tongues, interpretation of tongues. The operation of the prophetic. All those things are included in giving voice to that which the Spirit of God puts in you. We are still responsible for the oracles of God, just like the people of Israel were. Because any place His Spirit is, His Spirit has something to say, right? It's always been that. We get sidetracked on all these little tangent theologies, and, you know, we major on this or major on that, or we make this one thing be the issue. But the reality is, as simple as you can get it, Father loved man so much that He was bound and determined, I will never lose man. I'm going to live in them. I'm going to live in their midst. We're going to walk together. I'm going to walk among them. They're going to be my people. I'm going to be their God. This is the way it is. And it's always been that way. You know, go to Ezekiel. Let's just get a running start at this thing. I'm bringing these things out because, folks, we've got to understand that it's a lot bigger than theology. It's like my wife said in this hosting the presence class earlier today. This can't just be a theology or a way of thinking for us. This is just who we are because this is how man was created to function. And it really is that simple. I know there are people that would like to keep it separate in the realm of religion and say, well, it's just a religion. I don't have to adopt that religion. But it's not a religion at all. Religion is groping in the dark trying to find its way to God. This is simply Jesus sets you free from that system that He calls the elementary principles of the world. And if you'll learn to live out of your spirit, you're not going to be subject to that kind of system. And when you don't live subject to that kind of system, you're keeping your mind, your thought processes clear to get what really matters, and that is what the Spirit of God may be doing in any given moment. That's the plan. That's the way the thing is supposed to work. What I say is Ezekiel 36. You know, you read these prophetic writings and it's almost like, man, you can almost see Father chomping at the bit. He says in verse, I believe it's 26. He says, moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. This is the best the prophetic man could describe what he was seeing. Verse 27. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You'll be my people and I'll be your God. I just jumped down to verse 20, or the end of verse 28. You'll be my people and I'll be your God. Now go all the way back to Ezekiel chapter 2. What is the purpose of the Spirit of God being in the spirit of man? Then he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak with you. Verse 2. As he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me, set me on my feet, and I heard him. The purpose of the Spirit of God and the Spirit of man is so that man hears him. How many know it's important to hear? Jesus said, if you have ears to hear, let them hear. We were created to hear. Paul talks about it in his first letter, I believe it is to the Corinthians in chapter 2. He said the reason why he gave you his Spirit is so you would know what was in the mind of Father. See, the new model, I call it the new model, the upgrade man was created to see what natural man doesn't see and hear what natural man doesn't hear. And it's not some ethereal weird thing. It's just, you just live out of your spirit. Go back over to Ephesians. We talked last week about what is the environment that we live in, that we choose to live in, that is most or best honoring to the presence of the King. You remember we talked about Nehemiah and the fact that Nehemiah was very concerned because the King called him out on, you know, dude, you've never been unhappy in my presence before. What's up with that? And Nehemiah realized, oh, shoot. He said, I've never been unhappy in his presence before. Because for a king, you didn't live unhappy in his presence because that spoke about his reign. R-E-I-G-N, not R-A-I-N. We had enough of that. So it's not any different when it comes to the reign of the King. That's why you notice in the writings of Paul, what did I say, Ephesians? Why am I over in 1 Timothy then? Ephesians, look at verse 18. Well, first of all, let's go to verse 4. He says, and there must be no filthiness and silly talk. See, we're talking about what is the environment that honors the King? Because, folks, look, the bottom line is you either believe he's with you all the time or he's not. Right? We either believe and understand that he's everywhere we are, there he is, or it's just a theology. He says, or no silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Now, jump down to verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be, literally says, be being filled on an ongoing, constant basis with the Spirit. In other words, be constantly under the influence of that which the Spirit in your spirit is doing. We know it's important for us to constantly allow ourselves to be under that influence. So how do we do that? Well, one of the ways that you facilitate that environment is he says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord. And I said last week, we're not talking about, you know, we're not saying be twisted. Because some folks will read this and say, well, Lord, I thank you for this growth. Lord, I thank you. I'm not kidding. You laugh at me. I'm not kidding. You'll find them out there and be like, what? Lord, thank you for this, or thank you for this disease, or thank you for this, you know, thank you for this missing arm, thank you for, you know, and that's just twisted. Because you may be thinking, but Father ain't thinking, he's not thanking himself for that. He didn't do it. But he's saying the way we facilitate being full or under the constant influence of his Spirit is you have a life mindset of you live thankful. I heard one guy say this one time. If you got four bald tires and you got one good tire, go stand by the good tire and praise the Lord for the good tire. Why? It sounds kind of silly. You're cultivating a life of being thankful. Right? Because that facilitates being filled with the Spirit. And it's interesting, you know, see, we kind of changed gears and then we started talking about wives, be subject to your husbands, and husbands, love your wives. Employees, don't be taking 87 breaks and then jump on the job when the boss comes around the corner. We kind of shift gears there, but the reality of it is he's still talking about living under the influence of the fullness of the Spirit and being thankful. So in the context and in the environment of being thankful, I've never heard anybody teach this. You know, how do you, wives, be subject to your own husbands? You can be subject to your husbands because you've chosen to live a life of thankfulness. Husbands, how can you love your wives constantly ongoing? Because you live a life of thankfulness. Employees, how do you work on the job and serve your employer and keep your mind off all the junk that's going around? Because you live a life of thankfulness. I thank you that you hired me. I thank you that you gave me this job. I thank you. Because the reality of it is, and he talks about this later on, he says, chapter 6, verse 7, doing the will of God from the heart with all, with good will render service as to the Lord. So you're not working for anybody. The reason why all those relationships and those scenarios the Spirit of God gives us, tells us to do those things, is because he's assuming that you're already doing verse 18 of chapter 5, which is the way you facilitate being filled with the Spirit is you cultivate a life of thankfulness. Can you see that? It's awful quiet in here. Go over to Colossians. You'll see it again. Colossians chapter 3. He had just got done explaining to us as the new man... You died and your life is hidden with Christ. And I love verse 4, and unfortunately in our English Bibles it doesn't really say what it says. And then you dig into the Greek. Can I make a plug for the Greek? Because the way this reads in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4 in the Greek, it doesn't read so eschatological. See, we read those verses and we talk about when Christ appears, and we're thinking at the end time, when it's over, when it's all over with, when Christ comes back. But that's not what this is talking about. Because your life's not hidden with Him in that point, your life's hidden with Him now. Right? Really what the Greek says here is, whenever Christ appears, your life is revealed, because your life and His life are one life. It's talking about a spontaneous, any moment situation. See, you need to get that across. You need to understand that. This was the perspective of Paul. He wasn't living this thing as a religion. He was living this thing as a fact that, I mean, wherever he was, Jesus was right there with him. The Spirit of God was right there. And so he didn't talk from a theological perspective in the way he wrote. He talked from a standpoint of, this is a real type of, this is, you know, my heart's desire is to know him and the glory of his resurrection, not when I'm gone, right now. Why? Because when he died, when I died, he died. But when he died, I died. Excuse me. Teaching heresy. When he died, I died. But when he rose, I rose. I thought it was interesting in Ephesians chapter 4. You don't have to go there. I'll just read it. He says, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord. And then he tells him something. What I'm getting ready to tell you, I'm telling you this, and I'm affirming it together with the Lord who's with you right here. So we're affirming this together to you. Does that sound like some kind of religious? Maybe he was smoking some kind of religious weed or something. Maybe he was seeing things, hallucinations. No, because this is the reality of what Christianity really is. Jesus is with you. The Spirit of God is with you. So, he says here in Colossians chapter 3, after he got done telling you that, hey, whenever Christ appears, whenever Christ appears, any given situation, whenever he appears, then you need to understand, let me just read that so I don't misquote him. He says, in verse 3, for you died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, not when you go to heaven, but right now, whenever he's revealed, in any given situation, that's really what it says in the Greek, then you also are revealed with him in glory. Can you wrap your head around that? You know, do you ever wonder why when he wrote to the Corinthian churches in 1 Corinthians? I always wondered this. He talked to them like they knew what the gifts of the Spirit were. You notice there wasn't some small little sub-chapter that said, okay, now let me explain how the gifts of the Spirit are. Let's start with the word of knowledge. Let's explain that. He didn't. He talked to them like they understood what the gifts of the Spirit already were. It's because the gifts of the Spirit didn't just show up when Jesus was resurrected. The gifts of the Spirit were, you can find them from Genesis on. They're all over the place. They're all over the place before Jesus ever came into the earth. But somehow we got suckered into thinking that, well, since Jesus got here, now that he's gone, everything is gone and it's no longer that way. They were here before he got here, when he came into the earth as a man. So why, when he's not here as a man now, why would they be gone? It's just dumb. Can I say that? My wife, my ethics barometer, whatever. Where was I at? I was closing, that's what I was doing. So in Colossians chapter 2, he says, or chapter 3, he says, so, verse 12, those who have been chosen, God, holy and beloved, which is you, he says, put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, you also should forgive them. Beyond all of these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Now notice, jump down to verse... verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Remember how I said we were responsible for the oracles of God? I want that to sink in. Things haven't changed. We're still responsible for the oracles of God. And he says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. He says, singing with what? Thankfulness in your hearts to God. And then he goes on and he repeats what he said to the Ephesian church. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And then jump down to verse 23. He says it again. Whatever you do, do you work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Because we're always hosting his presence. Imagine what would happen in the culture that is the church when we learn, instead of having a spirit of criticism and calling it discernment, we learn how to just live out of the nature of love that's in you, keep your head free from thought processes that come from men, and cultivate a life of just living thankful. And you learn how to be attentive to what's going on in your spirit. You'll pick up a whole lot more things. And I told you last week, it'll keep you out of a whole lot of twisted stuff if you can live thankful towards other people around you. Because we don't want to get into twisted stuff, right? It'll keep you out of twisted stuff if you just learn to live a life of being thankful towards people around you. It'll keep your head out of being twisted up, which will keep you clear. At any given moment, you can get what the Spirit of God is giving you for that moment. Did you guys get anything out of this? Let's stand. I tell you, I'm looking forward to teaching on the conscience. And I trust that it'll set some people free from all that mess you've trained yourself to live under. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your spirit that's on the inside of us. I thank you that you are the teacher. We just love you. Thank you for teaching us how to live free. And first and foremost, we turn our affections to you. And we just tell you that we are thankful for you. We thank you that you have such a heart to share your mind with us and your spirit with us. You gave us your Son. And you raised us up. We're no longer under the dominion of darkness. And we don't have to grope around in the dark. Because you gave us your Spirit so that we might know all things that come from you. And I just thank you and praise you for that. Father, I thank you for these people. Any sickness and disease that's in this place, I speak to you and I tell you, you have no place here. You have no dominion here. You might as well get up and get out of here. Like right now. Because Jesus is our Lord. And these people are the temple of the Spirit of God. And they're to live free, whole, strong, healthy, and vibrant lives that reflect the glory of Jesus. And so we just thank you for that. Father, we thank you for healthy bodies. We thank you for healthy checkbooks and healthy finances. And we thank you for relationships, if they're not healthy, that the Spirit of God will begin to move on the hearts of the people involved. Angels, that you'll begin to speak to those individuals in their ears, and you'll begin to put impressions and desires in their heart to direct them into the light and into the right. And that you'll mend those relationships and cause them to be on the right track. And to you be all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody with that prayer said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.